Filipinos have nailed themselves to the cross despite the church's objection. Super gonorrhea is escalating in China, and a banana fight at a gas station leads to an employee's arrest for assault. These are the weird stories for Tuesday on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast in the country, the only daily weird news podcast in the land, the only daily weird news podcast that's hosted by a comedian inside a very small closet. Let's get right to the weird news, guys. You want it, you got it. Filipinos are nailed to crosses despite the church's objection. Eight Filipinos were actually nailed to crosses, crucified, in order to reenact Jesus Christ's suffering in a gory Good Friday tradition that draws thousands of devotees and tourists to the Philippines. Despite this activity being completely rejected by the Catholic Church, these are real-life crucifixions, getting nailed for Christ, as we'll call it, take place in the farming village of San Pedro Cutud in Pampanga Province, north of Manila. Whew, got that one out. The crucifixions have resumed after a three-year pause due to the coronavirus pandemic. A dozen villagers registered to be crucified, but only eight of the men participated. The other four backed out. It doesn't say why. Probably because they weren't aware that they use real nails. Like, oh no, I thought you just tied our wrists with ribbons. No, you're using real spikes. Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, yeah, daddy doesn't play with the real spikes. You know, this, by the way, this is a reenactment, guys. It's a reenactment. We don't have to use real spikes, but if you want to use real spikes, I'm out. I prefer something a little softer, like Velcro. If we could do, maybe next year, if you guys decide to do away with the spikes and go with Velcro, I'm in. I'm in. I'd even consider Gorilla Glue. Oh, that pulls out the hairs. Not ideal, but it's a lot better than spikes through my palms. Among the eight men that participated in getting crucified was 62-year-old Ruben Anahe, who's a sign painter. He was nailed to a wooden cross for the 34th time in the San Pedro Festival. 34 times, Ruben, going to it. Unbelievable. How does this guy keep painting when his palms are constantly getting nailed? Can't even paint with his feet. His feet are getting nailed, too. Maybe he uses his mouth. In a news conference shortly after his brief crucifixion, Ruben said that he prayed for the eradication of the COVID-19 virus and the end of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has contributed to gas and food prices soaring worldwide. We have a quote from Ruben shortly after his crucifixion. He said, "It's just these two countries involved in that war, Russia and Ukraine, but all of us are being affected." It says, Ruben appeared to be well and showed his two bandaged hands to the journalists. One of them said, "Nailed it!" No, I don't know if any of them said nailed it. I would have said nailed it. Ruben's a father of four. He said he wanted to end his extraordinary penitence because of his age, but would decide with finality before Lent next year. While the pain from the nailing was not as intense as anticipated, he said he always felt edgy before each crucifixion. Edgy? No kidding, Ruben. Edgy? I'd be terrified before each of the crucifixions. Here's another quote from him. "To be honest, I always feel nervous because, well, I could end up dead on the cross." yeah, you could end up dead. You could be impersonating Jesus way too much. You could be, it could be more and more of an authentic reenactment, and I don't think you want that. Ruben says, quote, "When I'm laid down on the cross, my body begins to feel cold. When my hands are tied, I just close my eyes and tell myself, I can do it. I can do it." Now, they don't only get crucified. There's a whole ritual. It is quite grueling. Right before the crucifixion, on a dusty hill, Reuben and the other devotees wear thorny crowns of twigs. They have to carry heavy wooden crosses on their backs for more than a kilometer in the scorching heat. As if that isn't enough, village actors dress up as Roman centurions and they yell insults at Reuben and his devotees. And then later they hammer a 4-inch stainless steel nail through each palm and each foot. Then they set them aloft on a cross under the baking sun for about 10 minutes. Unbelievable. Other penitents walked barefoot through village streets and beat their bare backs with sharp bamboo sticks and pieces of wood. Some participants in the past have even opened cuts in the penitents' backs using broken glass to ensure the ritual was sufficiently bloody. This gruesome spectacle reflects the Philippines' unique brand of Catholicism, which merges church traditions with folk superstitions. Many of the mostly impoverished penitents undergo the ritual to atone for sins, pray for the sick, pray for a better life, and give thanks for various miracles. We also have church leaders in the Philippines that frown upon these self-flagellations. They frown upon these crucifixions and all of the blood. They say Filipinos can show their deep faith and religious devotion without hurting themselves and by doing charity work instead, such as donating blood. In a way, they kind of are donating blood. It's all over the road, but donating blood nonetheless. This decades-long crucifixion tradition, meanwhile, has put impoverished San Pedro Cutud, one of the more than 500 villages in the rice-growing Pampanga province, on the map. Organizers say more than 15,000 foreign and Filipino tourists and devotees gathered for the cross-nailings in Cutud and two other villages nearby. There was a festive air as villagers peddled bottled water, hats, food, and religious items. And all the while, police and marshals kept good order. One tourist who witnessed the crucifixions was quoted as saying, "These people are genuinely inspired, and I think we all leave here with a newfound respect for people's beliefs." Yeah, but it's still a little crazy. And people, someone could die. They obviously don't give a damn. Tell you right now, I'm not getting up on a cross, but at least it is all consensual. I mean, unlike some of the nailing that the Catholic priests have been doing. No, Jonesy, no. Come on, guys, gotta throw it in there, just a little bit of fun. Come on. Hey, I'm Catholic, I can say such things. The super gonorrhea is taking over China. Oh, no. Gonorrhea. Super gonorrhea. It's big trouble in little China, I'll tell you right now. Me suddenly not so horny. Let's learn about super gonorrhea and how we can avoid it. Health officials have long warned that gonorrhea is becoming more and more resistant to all the antibiotic drugs that we have to fight it. Last year, the U.S. reached a very grim landmark. For the first time, two unrelated people in Massachusetts were found to have gonorrhea infections with complete or reduced susceptibility to every drug in the arsenal, including the frontline gonorrhea drug called ceftriaxone. Ceftriaxone. Why do they have to name these medicines so complicatedly? Luckily, these people were still able to be cured with high-dose injections of ceftriaxone, something. But as the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention bluntly notes, little now stands between us and the incoming, untreatable super gonorrhea. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not signing up for the super gonorrhea. I'm going to hold out and wait for the super ultra hyper gonorrhea plus pro. If public health alarm bells could somehow hit a higher pitch, a study published Thursday from researchers in China would certainly accomplish it. This study surveyed gonorrhea bacterial isolates from around the country and found that the prevalence of this very strong gonorrhea tripled between 2017 and 2021 in China. Ceftriaxone resistant strains of gonorrhea made up roughly 8% of the nearly 3,000 bacterial isolates collected from gonorrhea infections in 2022. That's up from just under 3% in 2015. Although those single digit percentages may seem low compared to other countries, they're actually extremely high. In the U.S., for instance, the prevalence of ceftriaxone-resistant strains never went above 0.2% between that same time period. And in Canada, the resistance was at a stable 0.6% during that same time period. In the United Kingdom, it's 0.21%. So in China, crazy amounts of super gonorrhea is what we're learning. Now, the article is beginning to get complex. A lot of scientific words, such as fluoroquinolones and penicillin, I can pronounce that one. Tetracycline. I'm gonna just avoid and skip this paragraph. We're not gonna get anything out of this anyways. Moving on, it says resistance rising. Resistance is rising. My peepee's burning. Oh, I think I've got the super G. In China, the cases and the swift spread of these ceftriaxone resistant super Gs is alarming. 2.9% of all cases reported in China of gonorrhea during 2022 happen to be super gonorrhea. Yeah, that's pretty scary. And obviously, if China has it, then all of China's friends have super gonorrhea as well. I'd imagine Japan, too. Although in Japan, they call it super happy fun gonorrhea. Oh, no, maybe they call it Godzilla. Go, Godzilla. Go, Godzilla. Now, it says these findings underscore the urgent need for a comprehensive approach to address antibiotic-resistant strains of gonorrhea in China, including identifying factors contributing to this high resistance rate, especially in provinces where the percentage of gonococcal isolates resistant to ceftriaxone is over 10%, according to the authors of the study. Yeah. Well, you know, just make sure they're not humping the bats, and I think we'll be okay. Is that where you get super gonorrhea? You have sex with a bat, I think. Jonesy, how could you say such a thing? I don't know. I thought it'd be funny. Clearly, it's not. Now, the authors of the study also note this is not just an alarming finding for China, but also a pressing public health concern for the entire world. These resistant clones have spread internationally, and collaborative cross-border efforts will be essential to monitoring and mitigating its further spread. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's not good for any of us. Prepare yourself for the mandatory airport urethra swabbing. That's going to hurt. Oh, you think being pat down between the legs is going to hurt? Wait for them to hit your urethra with a swab. All right, guys. Now, just and if you happen to be traveling to Asia, which I plan on it at some point, just be careful when you're over there. Be careful with the super G. Watch out for, you know, there's wet markets, but then there's wet markets, you know what I'm saying? Watch out for those markets.
Yay! Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A banana battle at a gas station leads to an arrest for an employee. A fight began with bananas being thrown inside a Pittsburgh gas station. This fight has led to one individual being hospitalized and a clerk facing charges. Someone was hospitalized after being hit with bananas? Were they frozen? Very strange. Let's keep reading about this banana battle. The incident occurred at a Sunoco in Pittsburgh. I can't do a Pittsburgh accent, although I like it. They say the word yins all the time, like yins going to the game, yins. I think it's short for you guys, although I'm not really sure. I'm sure somebody from Pittsburgh will correct me. I do like those sandwiches they make with they're like subs with french fries in them. Ugh, so good. I can't remember what those are called. I'm sure somebody will email me with an explanation and a photo of it. Now, the fight at the gas station began when a customer threw a banana at the gas station employees, who then threw a banana back at them, at the customer, as you should. I'm not getting paid enough to be hit with bananas at a gas station. Heck no, man. I'm going to throw that banana back at you. By the way, I'm pretty good at throwing things. The customer and staff then began throwing multiple bananas back and forth. This is crazy. A banana fight in a gas station. If I came upon such an activity, I probably would join in. Let's just hope nobody escalates it to pineapples. Those things are sharp, especially the top of the pineapple. That's a pointy thing. That's going to hurt. The customer then punched one of the workers in the face. All right, you crossed the line there, buddy. I was on board with your little banana battle. Seems playful, kind of like a pillow fight. As soon as you start throwing haymakers at a gas station clerk, that's not okay. Employee Yubaraj Budatoki. I think I nailed it. of Pittsburgh, then chased the customer into the parking lot and hit the customer several times in the head with a PVC pipe. Whoa, that took a turn. Oh, man, that's a plot twist, I think. Do you guys, are you guys familiar with what a PVC pipe is? It's the those white, thick plastic pipes that you find in homes. I'm very familiar with PVC pipes. My stepfather was a plumber, and I often would help him on jobs. I'd have to carry a lot of PVC pipe. I've even put some PVC pipe together for him. And I've even done a little welding back in the day. Yeah, and quickly learned. Manual labor, hate it. Not for me. No, thank you. I'm gonna tell jokes and make no money. I could have been a plumber and owned a home by now. What did I do? The customer is currently hospitalized from being struck with the PVC pipe and is in critical condition. My goodness. Well, I guess if you get hit in the head with a PVC pipe many, many times, yeah, it'll kill you. I mean, it's not the hardest pipe. It's better than being hit with a lead or a copper pipe, obviously, but the PVC pipe, pretty thick. You could swing it like a baseball bat. I'll tell you right now, one thing we're learning about this story is people will sometimes, under pressure, choose the strangest weapons. Bananas, PVC pipes. I mean, this is like an episode of Wile E. Coyote or something. Or like Donkey Kong versus Mario, getting very intense. Now, the clerk, Batathoki, is charged with aggravated assault and recklessly endangering another individual and is in jail. I believe it's assault because if you chase somebody away from the scene and continue to beat them, it's no longer self-defense. I believe that's what's going on. Some of you are probably lawyers or even criminals and may know this definition better than I do. But I believe because he left the store and followed the individual into the parking lot, now it becomes an assault. He was very, very triggered being hit with bananas. I mean, I don't know how I'd react either, but, you know, you almost can't blame the guy for losing it. It's like, you throw bananas? I go bananas! Hello, my friends and my loyal listeners of the Weird AF News podcast. I'm so grateful for you. Thanks for spending time with your buddy Jonesy. I want to give thanks and praise to Chris from Ireland that bought me coffee off my website, weirdafnews.com, a lovely place to visit. If you'd like to listen to show episodes or maybe support the show as well, like Chris from Ireland has decided to do in his graciousness, we appreciate Chris. Chris from Ireland wrote me a cool note too. It says, "Hey Jonesy, what's the deal with Florida? Is it a real..." Maybe I should read this in an Irish accent. I don't do a great Irish accent, but here it is. "Hey, Jonesy, what's the deal with Florida? Is it a real place or is it just made up to keep us entertained with stories of people who may or may not have taken too much? Florida Friday is the highlight of my whole week. Keep up the good work, man. You rock." I don't know. Do you guys want to rate my Irish accent? I suppose we should hear directly from Chris on whether or not this was an appropriate Irish accent, because he is, after all, from Ireland, so he would know. Anyways, big thanks to Chris. Really cool note. I'm sort of proud that, in a way, that I'm exposing Florida to the rest of the world. People in Europe and South America are like, "Hey, man, is this a real place you're talking about?" Oh, it's real. It's very much real. So, yeah, shout out to Chris. I will keep up the good work, my man. And you rock, Chris from Ireland. You rock for buying me coffee. Appreciate that. Anyways, like I said, if you want to support the show like Chris from Ireland, go to weirdafnews.com. You can also join the Patreon in other ways. For instance, you can download the Patreon app on your smartphone and do a search for Weird AF News, or you can go to their website, patreon.com/weirdafnews as well. Super cool. If you haven't subscribed yet to the show, please consider doing so. Just FYI, I do Weird News 5 days a week, and on Friday, it's only Weird News from Florida. That's the format that we have here, and your host likes to not just read about the news, but also sort of embellish it a little bit with personal anecdotes, horrible impressions, and bad song parodies. So, and sometimes a really annoying opinion that may be long-winded. So that's just what you're getting here at Weird AF News, just so you know. That's for the people that listen to it one time and decide that they can't understand it and they read a bad review. Anyways, little due diligence. I'm going to be traveling for the next couple days, and it's going to be a long entire day of travel. into like the night, and I'm going to try to get the episodes out, but if there is one that's late or missing, just FYI, Jonesy's traveling. Once I get to my destination, we'll be smooth sailing, but on the way there, I may not be able to pull over and record an episode. I'm going to do my best, though. I tried to prepare ahead of time, but you know what happens when you're traveling. Sometimes unforeseen incidences crop up. So just letting you all know, if I miss a day, Jonesy's still alive. I hope. And I'll have an episode out promptly the next day. I promise you that. Anyways, if you'd like to reach out to the show, the number 646-450-2012. And you can email me, as always, funnyjones@gmail.com. Love you very much. And good luck with your life, man.